He's telling you to put him first. But I'm here to tell you today that the last revival that America is going to see is going to come out of the streets. It's going to come out of the streets. It's going to come out. Listen. You seek this out and you let God give you the understanding of it. He's called the house of God, and we are a people of God. But he's also calling for others that's not in the house of God today. He's calling for people that don't come to the Pentecostal church, to the Baptist church, or whatever church he's called you to. He's calling people to come out of the streets and into the house of God, and to be a people that are not his people right now. And I'm telling you, it's God's love that's greater than America's love. It's God's love that's greater, that says, come unto me, all you that are heavier laden, that are burdened down, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ come to save the sinner. He said the whole don't need a physician. He said he would lead the 99 to go after the one. The verse I read to you is what the Lord gave me after he gave me the vision, the dream of the revival that's coming. That's the reason why we set these tents up. It's not to give a name to a church. It's not to give the name to a person. Yes, I got my name up there. Yes, I got the ministry up there, because it takes money to do what we're doing. I'm not begging for money, because God has provided every step of the way. I quit my full-time job in May, and I've not missed a bill yet. And I'm telling you that God is the answer. Jesus Christ come to save the sinner. Jesus Christ come to heal the sick. Jesus Christ come to cast out devils and raise the dead. And it's the same today as it was yesterday, and it'll be the same but all the way up to the day he comes. He come to save souls, and that's the key to the ministry. And I say this about every service, but I'm seeking the Lord just really heavy in prayer and fasting, just calling out on the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, when I gave my life to him, he took it completely over, because I knew. I told him, I said, Lord, I cannot serve you. I've tried and I failed over and over. He said, you're right. You cannot serve me. But if you'll give me your life, and if you'll give me everything you've got, he said, I'll do it in you. But you've got to give me your life. And I've given him my life, and I've kept my word to him, and he's kept his word to me. He's kept me in the midst of everything that's going on, and he'll keep you in the midst of everything. And I'm telling you, it's God's mercy, but I'll seek it him. See, I don't want nothing else. God's done messed me up. I don't want nothing else. I don't want this world. This world has dealt me a hard hand. I don't want this world. I want the world to come in Jesus Christ. I want to live in the fullness of the gospel today, but I want the world to come. I want the life of another. I want the life that he has to offer. But I was seeking him. I said, Lord, I said, what do you want me to do? And he came to me. And he said, and he spoke to me in the spirit. He said, could you imagine me dying on a cross and not helping the sinner? He said, that's what I came for. He said, go preach me and let me help the sinner. It's Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher, if you accept him. If you're out there tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll hear me say this over and over, because I ain't preaching anything else. I'm preaching Christ and Christ alone. There's no other name to be saved by. It's Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ, you ain't saved. But if you ain't saved, all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. It says a poor man cried and he delivered him out of all of his troubles. And I'm telling you right now, God's heard my cry many times. And I've seen God speak to me many times. I've seen God heal bodies. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God do great works. But we got to believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believeth. If you need a miracle from God, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll pray together and we'll believe for the miracle. God says, if any two agree on one thing, I'll do it, is what he says. And I'm telling you right now, he says, where two or three gathered together, he said, I'll be in the midst. And I'm telling you that God's here tonight to meet your need. God's here tonight to meet your need. God's here tonight to meet your need. I don't know what time it is. I don't really follow the clock that much. But I'm telling you that it's God's time. God desires a people. I'm not against church. I love church. I encourage people to go to church. Every time the door opens, be at church. If you're not working, be there. And it would be all right with me that if you shut everything else off and just read the Word of God and go to church, because it'll do more for you than anything else. Yes, you got to pray. Yes, you got to do the other things that He says do. He says when you fast, when you pray, and when you give. And it's all part of it. But I'm telling you that if you find a house of God that's preaching the truth, go into that house of God and support it all you got. I'm not here to build an earthly kingdom. I'm here to increase God's kingdom. And I'm telling you right now that God loves you tonight. And God died for you. That He sent His only Son. God sent His only Son to die for you, that you might have life. I corrected that because I said God died for you. The Bible says that God sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And listen, there's too many times we misquote the Word of God. I don't ever want to misquote the Word of God on purpose. I want to quote it word for word. And I'm telling you right now, and I don't want to live by one scripture. I want to live by the whole book. And I'm telling you right now, from the front to the back, from the floor to the ceiling, I want God to be in your life. And I want God to be in America. I want God to be in Sullivan, Missouri. And I'm telling you that if you want revival in Sullivan, you come together in one mind and one accord. And you just start lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men nigh unto myself. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to bake them a dinner. They'll come because the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. I'm telling you right now that God's desire is to save people. God's desire is to save the lost, to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. I love Him. I don't care if it's 105 degrees. I love Him. And it's supposed to get hotter this week. I still love Him. And I'll still be out here. And I'm telling you right now that, and I understand if you've got to work and other things, but tell people about it. If you know people that don't know the Lord, send them out here. I've had so many people come through here from the gas station getting gas, and different people that's come by. That's just, I got to witness to and talk to. And I'm telling you, if I never had nobody sitting underneath here, and it was just the people that came by, it's worth setting it up. If the one family that come through the other night and turned their life around and living for God, it's worth for the one family. Christ said He would leave the 99 to go get the one. I was one of them at one time that He left the 99 and He came after me. And He would not let up. And I'm telling you right now, He's not going to let up on you until He gets you. And I'm telling you, until He gets you good. And I'm telling you, that needs to be your prayer. He loves you right where you're at. I don't care if you're a drug addict and you got drugs in your pocket right now. I do not down you. I do not look down upon you. I do not degrade you. I do not come against you. I tell you right now that Jesus loves you just as much as He loves the right person. And I'm telling you right now so much that He'll leave the right person to come to get you. And I'm telling you the gospel is the salvation in Jesus Christ. He come to save the sinner. So many times if you sit in church, there's times you forget where you come from. I don't ever want to forget where I come from. And I know I won't as long as my mom lives, because she reminds me. She reminds me, it took you a long time, son. And I'm telling you right now that it's God's desire to save America. It's God's desire. Yes, judgment is out there. But let's pray for mercy instead of judgment. God, hold back Your judgment and bring mercy. Let's save some more souls, Lord, through Your name, Lord God. Let's see some more people healed, oh God. Lord, I was praying today. I said, Lord, You got to do something mighty in Sullivan. I said, if not, it's not going to turn right side up. And I'm telling you right now, don't tell me you don't need Jesus in Sullivan. I read your newspaper today. You need Jesus in Sullivan. I've talked to people on your streets. You need Jesus in Sullivan, just like we need Jesus in every other town and every other county in America. We need Jesus everywhere we go. He loves you right where you're at. He doesn't condemn you. Matthew 5. I love the Word of God. And I'm not no theologian. I found out the Word of God speaks to you. The Word of God will strengthen you. The Word of God will give you life when there is no life. The Word of God will give you hope. Because see, the Word's alive. It's alive. It's not a dead Word. It's alive. And it continually speaks. I quit school at 16. Went to work. That's what we did at my house. My dad went to the third grade. He didn't learn to read until he got saved at 40 years old. We didn't go to church until I was 10 or 12 years old. It was crazy at my house. It wasn't a normal life. My dad was an alcoholic. I've seen him have parties that tear the neighborhood up, terrorize the neighborhood. My dad was tough. Man, I've seen him get saved. And us kids, we didn't understand it. Us older kids. There's seven of us kids, the three older ones. Us four older ones, I'm right in the middle. We seen a different dad than my younger family seen. I even had my older sister here not long ago said, it's like our younger brothers and sisters are not even from the same mom and dad. I said, they're not. I said, when they was born and got raised, they was a new creature. They were raised in the house of God from birth. I said, we was raised in the hell holes. I said, there's a difference. I said, but God done it. That we might be able to go out and raise other people out of them holes and bring them to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When my dad got saved, I seen him pull up pot plants and burn them all out in the burn barrel. I seen him take all of his beer bottles and start throwing them and busting them. We done thought he lost his mind. Next thing I know, he said, they started getting us new clothes. We didn't have new clothes. We didn't have no money. We went out and got us a new outfit. Overalls. We grew up on a farm. Started taking us to church. And from 10 or 11 or 12, whatever year it was, I seen God do things that just blew my mind. Even though I couldn't get a hold of it myself, even though I knew God had something for me, I couldn't get a hold of it. I seen my dad go into the streets and go into drug houses. I still meet people to this day that'll come up to me and they'll see my name. They'll say, do you know John Duff? I said, yes, that's my dad. And they'll say, he come into the drug house when we had cocaine and LSD and PCP and marijuana laid out across the tables. And he would come in not looking at the dope, but he would come in and tell us, look, you don't have to do this. God loves you. And he come to save your soul. And he said, because of your dad and the word of God that was in him, he said, I now live for Jesus Christ. Now, I am boasting in my dad. But I'm boasting in what God done in him. And I'm telling you, I know this is real. I've seen it now. I've lived it out. I've seen the miracles of God. Not that long ago, before I went full-time ministry, my dad pulled a letter off the wall. Now, I left home at 16, so I got to miss a lot of the stuff that my dad done. I got to hear about it from other people. And he pulled the letter off, and he opened it up, and he said, here, read this. And I read it, and it was a letter trying to get him to come to Africa to preach the gospel. And he put it back in the envelope, and he handed it to me. He said, son, he said, don't miss the call of God on your life. And I'm telling you, it messed with me. Because I wouldn't want to gain this world and lose God. I'm telling you right now, I'm not telling you to quit your job or anything like that, but I'm telling you, just like that scripture I read, put God before everything else. Put God before everything else. Cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray unto the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let Him lead you and guide you every step of the way. Matthew 5. There's some of you sitting here that God's speaking to tonight. He's speaking to you guys loud and clear. I know it. I see it on you. There's some of you that are crying in the inside of you. You're tore up. God don't condemn you. He loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. He loves you more than you ever know. But you just got to say, yes, Lord. I don't care where you're at in your life. Just say yes to the Lord and let Him lead you every day from that day forward. Verse 5, I'm going to start at verse 1. there's some of you here that's been crying out to the Lord, why won't you do this? God hears your prayers. Do you hear me? God hears your prayers. He hears your cries. He's not a God that's afar off. Our God is alive. You got to know that. He hears your cries. He hears your pains. He sees your affliction. And He is your deliverer. And He is your freedom. Verse 5, verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying," this is a Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That means humble. "For theirs is the kingdom of God." See, I found in my life, because I was the guy that could always fix everything. If my car broke down, I'd fix it. If my house broke, I'd fix it. If whatever it was, I'd fix it. But I found my tore up life, I could not fix it. But I found when I got on my knees, and I said, "God, save me. I messed up. I've tore my life up, oh God. Turn my life around, Lord." He'd say, "Yes." And that's what He's talking about in that verse I just read. The poor in spirit. David said in the Psalms, he said, "A broken and contrite heart God would in no way refuse, no way resist." He'll resist the proud. But He'll come and give grace to the humble and lift you up. And I'm telling you tonight that God loves you. He's not against you. God's for you. There's a generation coming up that don't know God. I witnessed on the streets in Illinois and in different places in Missouri and in just different areas of the country. And witness, I've had young people come up to me. I bought a dryer, and the guy's delivered to me, and I started witnessing to him. He said, "You know, I've never had anybody tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, "How old are you?" And he was 30-something years old. We've got a generation that don't know the Lord. But we've got a generation coming in power. Because they're going to see the salvation of God. They're going to see the Lord. They're going to see the goodness and mercy of God Almighty. They're going to see the meaning of "Blessed are the poor in spirit." They're going to see the grace that God's been given upon the people. And I'm telling you, it's God's mercy and His grace. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." There's a lot of people right now that's sitting outside that's not under this tent, or you might be under it, that are mourning. They're crying out for God. But He's saying, "You'll be comforted. You'll be comforted." And I'm telling you right now, He came that He might give you life and give it to you abundantly. He didn't come to destroy you. He didn't come to kill you. He came to give you life. And that life is in Christ alone. No other name to be saved by. You know, I've had people tell me here lately, "You know, your God and my God's the same." And I tell them, not in meanness. I tell them, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't have life, you're not saved. And I'm not trying to be mean. But the Lord gave me a vision when I first got saved and put a call on my life. He gave me a vision and showed me what I'd be doing. And He showed me, I stood before Him in heaven. And there was thousands and thousands of people sitting in front of me. And I was happy because I made it before the throne. I made it before Him, and I was standing there. And one by one, people started looking at me. They said, "You never told me. You never told me. You never shared the gospel with me." And my countenance went from a smile on my face to drop me to the floor. And I cried out, "God, give me a chance, oh God. So everywhere I go, I'm going to share the love of God, because I don't want to stand before the Lord and have people tell me, 'You never told me.' I may have people reject me. I may have people tell me, 'You're crazy.' I've had people tell me, 'You're nothing but a Bible thumper.' And I said, 'You can call me whatever you want, but I'm telling you that Jesus Christ loved you. He didn't come to destroy you. He come to heal your mind, heal your body, and set you free from the things.'" I'm going to have the musician come back up. I appreciate the musicians coming out in this heat and giving their time to help us. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Listen, when I read these scriptures, if I want something from God and I read these, it tells me what I got to do. Verse 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, I want to be merciful everywhere I go because I need the mercy of God. I need the mercy of God. So if I need mercy, what am I going to do? I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to share mercy with everybody I come in contact with. Blessed are they that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. David, again in the Old Testament, he said, God, search me, know me, try me. He said, you know, and he prayed, Lord, give me a pure heart and clean hands. Listen, it's God's mercy. It's not His judgment upon you. It's God's mercy that draws us in. It says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You know, I don't want to, whenever I was living in the world, I had long hair down my waist. And I'm not against long hair. I wish my hair was still long. But I went and got my hair cut one time. They was doing that Locks of Love. And I couldn't handle it. They showed me these pictures of these little babies that needed hair. I said, cut it off. Take it. And I never did grow back. But I'm telling you, it's God's mercy. God will do something in you that you never thought you could do. I've never been a speaker. I couldn't speak in front of people. But when God does it in you, you'll find you can do things that you never could do in your life. I wasn't one to go to a stranger and witness to him. Before I'd go to a stranger and punch him in the nose. That's the reason why mine's all crooked. Been broke so many times. God will do something in you that's different. He'll take a hard heart and He'll make it soft. I've met big old biker, burly, rough looking guys that look like they rip your head off and have you for dinner. And you start sharing the love of God with them, and they'll tell you their testimony of when they got saved, and they'll start hugging on you and crying on you and kissing you on your neck. And I'm telling you, not no weird stuff either, because they got such of a love of God in them that God's done something in their life. See, God looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. He don't look at the outward appearance. You can't judge somebody by how they look. You got to have discernment and see the love of God. See, God told me a long time ago, He said, you don't touch, you don't judge them, you don't condemn them, you don't look on them with a prideful look. You look upon them with a merciful heart. You look upon them with a heart that I give you to reach them and draw them unto me. You look at them and you tell them that I love them just like they are. I don't care what they're doing. You tell them that I love them and I died for them and I come to give them life. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. See, I don't want to be a troublemaker. I want to be a peacemaker. And I got to pray to God, God, let me be a peacemaker. I can't do none of these by myself. It's God, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Galatians says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Corinthians says, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's the Word of God that comes in you. See, it says you need no man teach you save the Holy Spirit. That don't mean you don't go to church and listen to the Word of God. That means you let the Word of God that's preached to you be taught to you by the Holy Spirit that's in you once you get salvation and trust the Lord. Now listen to this one. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, I'll stop at this one. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I found out when you start preaching the Word of God, a lot of people don't like you. A lot of people that used to be your friends are no longer friends anymore. I still just pray for them. I still show them mercy and I still show them the love of God. Because they ain't my battle. My fight is against wickedness. And that's what the Bible says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, wickedness in high places. You got to understand that.
I left Illinois in 2012 or 13. Not by choice. We had to get the kids. We're caught up in foster care, so we became foster parents. My plan was to move back to Illinois and continue to do ministry there. That's where I started in ministry. I had support there. And so we went to buy a house. I know I said I was going to stop, but the Lord just put this in my spirit. We went to Illinois to look for a house. Got pre-approved for a loan. Went to buy a house because our adoptions and guardianship and all that was coming to an end. So I went to Illinois and got pre-approved through the loan, which was a miracle in itself. And started looking for houses where I was working at. I was driving from Festus, Missouri to Highland, Illinois every day, 5 days a week, sometimes six. And I just kept praying. I said, because I don't ever want to do anything, even my house. I said, Lord, I said, if it's your will, I said, I'll buy a house.